If we want to see the power of God unleashed and His kingdom advance to those who are lost, we must, number one, be ready to obey the gospel. Number two, be ready to explain the gospel. Amen? This guy did his homework. How many of you could share Christ from the Old Testament? Oh, praise God. Amen. Yeah, right there in Isaiah. Isaiah 53 is a good place to start. If you can, I'll tell you what, you can start from the very book of Genesis, right from the beginning, and go from cover to cover throughout the Bible, and you will find Jesus Christ in every book of Scripture. He's there. It's all about Him. That's the gospel. So number one, be prepared to obey the gospel. Number two, prepare to explain the gospel. Number three, we must be ready to implement the gospel. Everybody say, implement the gospel. Implement the gospel. You don't hear that a lot, do you? Probably first time you ever heard anybody say that, isn't it? Well, thank you. There's no extra charge for that. See, you never know what you're going to get when you come here, man. It's always a surprise. You should be coming with anticipation. What in the world is he going to say today?
Sunday!
That's right! What day is it?
Sunday!
Glory to God. Number three, we must be ready to implement the gospel. What in the world do you mean by that? Well, Acts 3, 8:36 says this. Now as they went down the road, they came to some
water.
Or as Missy would say, water. I love her dearly. And the she's going to be mad at me. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What? I am in such deep trouble. And deeper and deeper. Somebody pull me out before I drown. Oh, gosh. Let me start over. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, why did this guy ask about being baptized? Where in the world did he hear about that? Anybody? Mark?
Philip.
From Philip. Philip told him about baptism. Why do you think Philip told him? He said, the scripture says he preached Jesus to him. Why in the world do you think he told him about baptism? Yeah, what you guys said. I couldn't tell. There were so many people saying, yeah, because that's what Jesus said to do. He says, if you believe in me, do the things that I command you to do. What's the first thing he commands us to do if we believe? Get baptized. Praise God. Because baptism is expected. It's commanded. It is a part of discipleship. And guess what? One of the dangers of modern preaching, you know, we leave out this whole concept of discipleship. One of the dangers of modern preaching is that all we want is a decision. We just want to get people to say the prayer and then run before it gets, you know, complicated. If we can get them to say that prayer, some people just leave out the gospel and they just say, well, just say this prayer. I don't care, you know, they don't understand it or what. They just want it. It's like it's a liturgy or something. We feel if we can do that, then we've done our job. But you know what? That's not what the Great Commission says, is it? Did you know that God is more interested in you than simply saving you from hell?
Amen.
He really is. Praise God. What does the Great Commission say? Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make what?
Disciples
of all the nations. Doing what? Baptizing them. Thank you, yes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And doing what else?
Teaching
them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, when you do that, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, mentoring them, growing them, nurturing them, praying for them, encouraging them, loving them, sharing and laying down your life for them and with them, embracing them and helping to equip them and help them find their spiritual gifts and be assimilated into the body of Christ so they can be a fruitful, reproducing Christian. Praise God. We're called to make disciples. And nothing against, you know, when people pray to receive Christ, praise God, that's wonderful. I rejoice every time that happens. In fact, I mentioned earlier that I'd shared the gospel this week with a young man who came. Actually, his name was Jeremy. Really nice young guy. He's probably in his mid-20s or so, kind of athletic built. Came to church, shared the gospel with him, and do you know he actually did pray to receive Christ, which was wonderful. He did so graciously. He did so humbly. He did so with a sense of joy in that. I mean, he wasn't dancing in the foyer or, you know, falling down with tears, but he just it seemed very reasonable. He said, yeah, I would love to pray to receive Christ right now. And we prayed. And I gave him a Bible afterwards. I gave him some gospel tracts that kind of recapitulated the gospel. And I gave him, I need some help. Sarah, you're in the back. On the gospel track rack, you know, in the hallway, you're tall. There's up on the upper left, there's a booklet called Follow Up. Could you get that for me and run it up here for me real quick? Don't trip. Not unless Tom aims the camera in that direction first. No, don't trip anyway. I don't want to see you get hurt. I meant to grab that on the way in, but, you know. Yes, I believe it. Be careful, sweetheart. Don't fall. God bless you. Thank you so much. Yay, that was very good. Yay. Isn't she, though? I mean, without challenge, excuse, or delay. What's that?
You said go,
she went. She went. And I wasn't even an angel. It wasn't even the desert. So, after he prayed to receive Christ, I gave him a Bible. It happened to be sitting on the table. I gave him some tracts, and I gave him a booklet called Follow Up. Praise God. And it talks about all kinds of good stuff. It says, you know, well, it tells you, you know, now that you've prayed, you know, you are born again, and you ought to be doing things like reading your Bible, praying, having fellowship, coming to church, witnessing, engaging in spiritual warfare, living a victorious Christian life. And then page 18 is additional needs. Water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I was telling Larry just earlier, I said, you know, I had this wonderful experience of praying with this guy, but it sure would bless me if he came to church on Sunday, man. That's what I would really love to see. It's wonderful that we got to share the gospel, number one. Wonderful, number two, that he decided to pray. Wonderful that we gave him the materials, but wouldn't it be awesome if he came and pressed in and got to know? I kicked myself for not getting the guy's phone number, but who knows, maybe he'll need diapers again, like for his kid. And gas again. He'll probably need gas again, you know. If he has gas, he might need a diaper. I don't know. Why do I say these things? Yes, it's Tom's fault. But this is exciting stuff, man. This is not drudgery. This is not boredom. This is not, oh, I gotta go to church. Oh, I gotta share the gospel. This is fun, man. This is life. This is exciting. All kinds of good things happen when we obey God. He wants to bless our socks off, man. And He will. He does. Oh my gosh, John, you've already been blessed. He even got the shoes on top of it. Man. Yeah, and somebody else next to him must have got blessed too. Either that or they got raptured and we're in a lot of trouble. A pair of shoes on the floor. I don't even know if I should say this. No, I'm not even going there. Okay. I've caused enough trouble today. Praise God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And you know, and faith in Christ is not simply a one-time decision. When we say we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, it's more than simply making a one-time decision and then forgetting about it. It's talking about a walk of faith in Christ, where we wake up in the morning and our heart's desire is to walk with Christ in faith, obeying Him, fellowshipping with Him, serving Him, knowing Him. God wants us not only to grow more and more like Jesus every day, but God's heart's desire is that we would know Him. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the strong man glory in his strength, or the mighty man glory in his might, but let him who glories glory in this, that he knows me, says the Lord. That's what it's all about, so that people can know God and God can be glorified in them. It is all about the glory of God. What is the chief end of man that Chris Peeler talked about the other day? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what it's all about, man. We want to introduce people to Christ so they can glorify God and do what? Enjoy Him. Man, bring Him here. We'll get started, man. We'll have some fun. Amen? Praise God. And then this, you know, I love the ending of this thing, and we'll let you go in a second. I guess it's what Philip must have explained to the Ethiopian eunuch. He must have explained that, well, you got to start by getting baptized, because in verse 38 it says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. And I could go on for hours about baptism, but all of a sudden, verse 39 comes this amazing little passage. If all of that wasn't cool enough, here's the icing on the cake. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, doing what?
Rejoicing.
Praise God. I bet he was rejoicing. Man, I can't wait to tell them boys in Ethiopia what happened to me. My trip to Jerusalem. Verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he did what? He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, that eventually was his home. He had four daughters who prophesied. We'll see that later in Acts. But Philip was not the first person that ever happened to. You know, the first time I read this passage, I was like, really? I mean, that really happened to him? The Spirit really caught him away? Well, this is nothing novel. The Bible says that the same thing happened to Elijah. The Bible says the same thing happened to Ezekiel. The Spirit snatched him up, caught him up. It's the same wording that it uses in 1 Thessalonians. It says that we are one day going to be raptured, snatched up, caught away, probably by the Spirit of God. And so once again, Philip did cool stuff. How many people want to do cool stuff? I want to do cool stuff, man. I want to be like Philip. Brother? Everybody wants to. How many people want to be like Philip? Praise God. I want to do cool stuff. But in order to do cool stuff, I got to have three things. One, I must be ready to obey. Number two, I must be ready to explain the gospel. And number three, I must be prepared to implement the gospel and present the full gospel, which is to know God and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. How can they know if we don't go? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the life that comes from your word. I pray, Lord, we all pray, God, in one accord, in one heart, that you would work this in us. God, let us be like this man who was ready to obey, ready to share, Lord, ready to help implement whatever you want to do with us. God, send us, Lord. Send us, God. Send us in power and might. Give it to us when you will, Lord, but send us. And we thank you and trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.